You know, there's obviously a lot of topics that one can talk about in 4 minutes on the radio. And so I'm curious, you know, where you think we should go with this. And so to sort of preface that question, I'm just curious how much you know about education policy locally here in New Hampshire.
Well, I've been doing a crash course in the last 24 hours. But before that, on my blog, I have a national blog. And some months ago, I asked a question of my readers. I said, who lives in the best state for education? Who lives in the worst state? And I had hundreds of responses from teachers saying, my state is the worst. Count me. Louisiana, Tennessee, North Carolina, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. And the one state that had unanimous approval saying, we have the best state, was Vermont.
Ah, so our neighbor.
Yes.
So did you get any feedback about New Hampshire on that in that query?
Well, nobody said New Hampshire was the best because New Hampshire is pretty much going along with the national trends, putting a lot of emphasis on test scores. Not as bad as some of the worst, and you know, I told you who the worst are.
Sure.
You're somewhere there in the middle.
Okay, so I understand that standardized testing is a big topic for you. New Hampshire is going to be transitioning to a new standardized test, the Smarter Balanced, in the spring of 2015. Tell us what you think of the test.
Well, to begin with, neither I nor anyone else, except for the people designing it, has seen the test. There are two federally funded tests. One is called PARC, and the other is the Smarter Balanced. PARC has been getting terrible reviews. I have higher hopes for Smarter Balanced because I know some of the people designing it, so I'm hopeful that it will be better. The problem, I think, with both of these tests is that they're going to be tests that kids take on computers, and that if you have a computer test, you're going to have to be prepared to spend some money to have the bandwidth and to make sure that everybody's got access to a computer. And some states have actually backed out of one or the other consortia because they say it's too expensive for their state. But the test will be on a computer, and who will score them? They will either be scored by a computer program, which is very fast, but it has some defects. The computer program can't tell truth from falsity, but it can check on your sentence structure and your paragraph structure. It might, on the other hand, be turned over to the kind of Craigslist temps that some of the test makers have been hiring, low-wage people who are not necessarily educators, but who are doing this very quickly. And then again, it could be outsourced to another country.
Do you think that it's possible to create a better standardized test?
I have to be quite honest. I'm not a big fan of standardized testing. I also don't think that they're the answer to the biggest problem in American education. The biggest problem in American education is the number of kids living in poverty is soaring. We have more kids living in poverty today than we did 10 years ago. We have more kids living in poverty than any other advanced nation in the world. And I don't think that having better tests or more tests has anything to do with whether they get in or out of poverty.
So child poverty is on the rise here in New Hampshire as well as other places in the country. But even so, hasn't standardized testing shown us what a big problem in American education is? It's put front and center this achievement gap that there is between rich students and poor students.
My new book, which is called Reign of Error, says that we've been misled. Test scores today are the highest they've ever been in history for white kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, Asian kids. High school graduation rates are the highest they've ever been in history for these groups. The dropout rates are the lowest they've ever been in history. So part of the reason that these national tests were created and national standards were created is to address a non-existent crisis. Where there is low performance, there is high poverty, and the tests don't do anything to alleviate that.
So I'm curious, you know, New Hampshire has a state that's maintained a strong history of local control. Schools here can design their own teacher evaluations. They can create their own curriculum still. They can even tweak the Common Core standards, which has become clear at a vote in our largest school district recently. So in a state like New Hampshire, where local control is such a strong tradition, do you think that there really is anything to fear from the school reform movement?
Well, I think that the effort of this current reform movement is to standardize everything and make it national. So, yes, it is a threat to local control, but I don't think there's any reason for New Hampshire folks to give up their local control. I think it's a good thing if they take the Common Core standards and tweak them and make them work. The biggest complaint coming from teachers right now is that the early grades are completely developmentally inappropriate. They're expecting little kids to take bubble tests, and they can't even hold a pencil, or they don't know how to type. So you have to trust your teachers. Hire the best teachers you can. Trust their judgment that they're doing what's right for kids, and let them tweak the standards. They'll make them better than they are now. These standards, you have to understand about the Common Core standards, they have never been field tested anywhere. We're only just beginning to learn how they work because that effort to field test them was never made.
So what other topics are you going to be addressing tonight when you talk to the crowd in Dartmouth?
Well, I'm going to be talking about what's happening nationally, and I'm on a book tour to begin with. My new book has been on the New York Times bestseller list the last 3 weeks. But I'm going to be talking about the theme of the book, which is, first of all, that we've been fed this fake narrative for the past 30 years that our schools are failing when they are not, in fact, failing. They're better than they've ever been. And where we do have a genuine crisis is where the kids are in high poverty. And then I'm going to go through what I see as a series of sensible solutions where we can actually improve the lives of children as well as improve schools. And I'm not making it an either-or proposition.
So maybe you could lay out some of the solutions you see. I mean, especially since the problem of child poverty is something that's really beyond the control of educators.
Sure. It's a bigger problem than education. And no matter how hard schools do their job, no matter how well the teachers teach, they can't reach all the problems. The first solution that I put forward is that there should be good prenatal care available to women who can't afford it, because women who don't get prenatal care are apt to have children with developmental delays, cognitive deficiencies. These kids will end up in special education and cost the state and the federal government many hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's a huge improvement for the kids and also for our society. Secondly, I believe strongly in early childhood education, certainly for four-year-olds, but perhaps even for younger children as well. Parental education, after-school programs, summer school programs. Every school should have a strong arts program. There are many things that schools can do to do a better job. I'm very much opposed to the status quo. The status quo is what we've been doing for the past dozen years. It's No Child Left Behind. It's Race to the Top. It's putting all of our emphasis on standardized testing and disregarding the fact that children live in families. And in many cases, their families are in terrible difficulty. The kids have illnesses that could be easily remediated if they had access to a health clinic. So health clinics would be another one that would be crucial to improving student achievement. All these things are interrelated, and schools can do heroic jobs. Teachers can do heroic jobs, and yet if they don't have the support of the society and the local community, they just can't do it alone.
Mrs. Ravitch, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.